Turn with me to Joshua chapter 21. As we continue in this series, which is nearing an end. Joshua 21, we'll be looking at the whole chapter, but let me read verses 1 through 8 as we begin. Joshua chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. God's Word. Now the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the heads of the other tribal families of Israel at Shiloh in Canaan, and said to them, "The Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in, with pasture lands for our livestock." So, as the Lord had commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own inheritance. The first lot came out for the Kohathites, clan by clan. The Levites, who were descendants of Aaron the priest, were allotted 13 towns from the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The rest of Kohath's descendants were allotted 10 towns from the clans of the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and half of Manasseh. The descendants of Gershon were allotted 13 towns from the clans of the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The descendants of Merari, clan by clan, received 12 towns from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. So the Israelites allotted to the Levites these towns and their pasture lands, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its breadth and its depth. We thank you that you are a God of details and that you teach us in your details. We ask that as we look at this chapter this morning, that you bless us with understanding. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you hear the word legacy, you tend to think of something, or at least I do, of something grand, something good, something wonderful, maybe something I'm going to get. The word legacy is used to describe things that either are great or the people giving it the name want us to think is great. Think of Subarus. There's a Subaru legacy. Why do they call it that? Well, I mean, don't really know what was in the people's heads, but you know, they want us to think that this is a wonderful thing and maybe even that it can be passed down. It's a legacy. The word legacy is used in a lot of titles of science fiction movies and TV programs, Star Trek, Stargate. They have legacy in a lot of their titles. Why? Well, we're looking into the future. It's something that is still going to be there come the future. There are even a number of rock bands with the name Legacy. Though, in my estimation, most of them don't have much of a legacy. But you get the idea. The idea is this word legacy promises something good and grand. And it's what we've got in front of us as we look at this chapter today, a legacy. But not that kind. It's not a legacy of getting something. It's a legacy of giving something. Because you see, the inheritance of the Levite was one of dedicated service to God and his people. That's the legacy of the Levite. This is also true of the modern Levite. Let's take a look at that. First, I want to look at the Levite's portion, and then the Levite's privilege, and then finally the Levite's provision. First, the Levite's proportion, or the Levite's portion. Verses 1 and 2 read this way. Now the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the heads of the other tribal families of Israel at Shiloh in Canaan, and said to them, "The Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in with pastures for our livestock." So here we come to yet another great distribution of land. We've been reading about that thus far. This tribe got this land, and this tribe got that land. But this distribution is different in many ways. There's a lot to be gleaned from this chapter. And this is another chapter which commentators and preachers regularly ignore. Oh, another list. What are we going to do with yet another list? Well, what we should do is read it and learn from it about God's providence, about God providing for His people good things. But let's look at some of the things we can glean here. First of all, what about the request? Again, in verses 1 and 2, the Levites came and they approached Eleazar, who was the priest, Joshua, who was their leader, and then the heads of all the families. Sort of a tribal council, if you will. The council of the elders. And they came to them and they said, God promised us something, and we haven't received it yet. All the other tribes had already received their allotments. The Levites were last. Now, God's word doesn't tell us why the Levites were last. It may have been a simple oversight. It may have been there were some people who didn't want to give anything up to the Levites because it was going to come out of their own allotment. It may have simply been that the Levites were selfless and kept saying, "No, we'll wait, we'll wait." However that happened, that they were last, now they've come and they've said, "Okay, we need our inheritance." They came and they made their request in faith. Faith in what, we might ask? Faith in God. Faith in His promises, because God had promised this very thing. I'm going to be looking at a number of particularly Old Testament scriptures. Let me take you to Numbers chapter 35. Beginning in verse 1, we read this. On the plains of Moab, by the Jordan, across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, "Command the Israelites to give the Levites towns to live in, from the inheritance the Israelites will possess, and give them pasture lands around towns. Then they will have towns to live in and pasture lands for their cattle, flocks, and all their other livestock." This is the promise that the Levites were claiming as they came to Eleazar and to Joshua. God said to Moses, "You're going to have to do this." Notice, though, it did say, "out of your inheritance." The Levites were given towns and their suburbs, including the cities of refuge. But the city still belonged to the tribes to which they were originally assigned. So, in other words, if the tribe of Kurt had received 52 acres, God might say, "Okay, two of the major towns among those 52 acres are to be lived in by the Levites." They still belong to the tribe of Kurt, but the Levites going to live there. It's like mineral rights. Sometimes you own the land and you sell off mineral rights to some company that might mine for coal, gas, oil, whatever. You still own the land. But that company which has bought it from you owns the rights to anything which is mined in that land. So this is the situation with the Levites. They didn't own anything. They didn't own the cities. They didn't own the land. But God gave it to them as a place in which they could live, including, again, the cities of refuge. So that's the request. What's the response? Verse 3. So, as the Lord commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own inheritance. No matter what the reason for the delay in assigning cities to the Levites, Israel did recognize their claim. They recognized that this wasn't man coming to them and saying, I want something, I'm entitled, I'm a victim. None of that entitlement stuff. They came and they said, God promised this, and so it is supposed to happen. And they claimed God's promise. Just as I claim now, we claim together that God would be in our midst as we gather, because He promised it. Thank you, God, for being in our midst this morning. God gave them 48 cities in which to live, six of which were the cities of refuge. Which makes sense. These were the Levites. These were the ministers. And they were going to be the ones who to minister, even to those who had to flee to the cities of refuge. As had been the case with the other tribes, these lands were given by lot. They rolled the dice. Actually, it was Uman and Thurman. It was a device somewhat like dice. And they rolled to see who got what. Now, you might say, gee, that's counting on luck. It's not counting on luck. It's counting on God to show them by some means how they were to distribute these things. There are some churches which still use the lot, as a matter of fact, today. Reformed churches. They use the lot in determining who will be the elders of their congregation. They establish a qualified pool of elder candidates, and then by lot, they select them rather than electing officers. So it's a fine biblical practice which has been carried on. Do we think that they're rolling the dice and counting on luck to get them the best elders? No, they're praying to God that He will show them by some means who should be those elders. And that's how the land was distributed to the Levites. It was systematic. It was orderly. The Levites had faith in the promises of God, and those promises were fulfilled. So we've got a request, and we've got a response. But at this point, I think we should probably be asking, well, who are these Levites in the first place? Why do they get this claim? Why can they come and say, hey, we didn't necessarily fight for it. We didn't go out and cut down all the trees and everything, but we should be given cities. So let's take a look at the Levites' privilege. As you might expect, and I'm sure most of you know, they're called Levites because they were descendants of Levi, third son of Jacob. And this family was chosen by God to serve in the sanctuary as priests' assistants, as ministers of music. They were the temple ministers, one kind of another. What do we know about them? Well, the first thing we know about them is they were chosen. In Numbers chapter 8, we read this. Numbers chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the Levites from among the other Israelites and make them ceremonially clean." Verse 14. "In this way you are to set the Levites apart from the other Israelites, and the Levites will be mine." The Levites will be mine. Who said that? God did. He said, "I want them. I want them to serve me." The Levites didn't jockey for position with the rest of Israel, elbowing one another up the corporate ladder so that they could be at the top rung and be the priests in the temple. They didn't take a lot of exams. They didn't necessarily go to priest school, although they were trained. In fact, they had no say in the matter. They didn't apply to Levite school. They were chosen by God to be part of the family of Levi and therefore the ministry of the temple. God chose them. They were set apart. Now, here's something you may not recognize, though. The Levites were the new firstborn of Israel. They replaced the firstborn. Again, in Numbers chapter 8, in verse 17, we read this. Numbers 8, 17. "Every firstborn male in Israel, whether man or animal, is mine. When I struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, I set them," the Levites, "apart for myself. And I have taken the Levites in place of all the firstborn sons of Israel." You remember the Exodus? All the firstborn were to be taken, but God spared them if they followed his directions and took the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts. And they were spared. But you see, there was a sort of a trade-off here. For those who were spared, God took Levi to serve him as his ministers. He spared the firstborn and took Levi to be his new firstborn. Originally, they were set apart for service in the tabernacle. But now, here in Joshua, we see that they are going to be dispersed among the tribes, dispersed in all the nation. Why? Well, it's the second thing we can learn about them. They were chosen for service. Continuing in Numbers chapter 8, verse 19. "Of all the Israelites, I have given the Levites as gifts to Aaron and his sons to do the work at the tent of meeting on behalf of the Israelites and to make atonement for them so that no plague will strike the Israelites when they go near the sanctuary." He's chosen them to do the work at the tent of meeting on behalf of the Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 33, we read this beginning in the second part of verse 9. Deuteronomy 33 9. It says, "About Levi," he said, "he watched over your word and guarded your covenant. He teaches your precepts to Jacob and your law to Israel. He offers incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar." This is what he's saying. This is a description. It's a job description, if you will, of the Levite. What's he going to do? He's going to watch over God's word. He's going to guard the covenant. He's going to teach the law. He's going to make the offerings on the altar. All these things are the tasks of the Levites. They were chosen to represent God. This is their legacy. To serve Him and to serve His people. To teach about Him from His Word and to guard the covenant. Now, what does that mean to guard the covenant? Do we have to get AK-47s and stand around a piece of parchment that's got something written on it? Well, no, not exactly. In order to know what it means to guard the covenant, we have to have a clue what the covenant is. Now, Brother Ed taught in the Sunday school this morning the technicalities of what the covenant is. But we need to know what the content is. And the content is very simple. God said, "I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people." That's the covenant. Plain and simple. It entails a lot of things, like the sacrifice of the perfect lamb and the blood being shed on our behalf. That's right. But that's the covenant we guard. How do we guard the covenant? By teaching it properly, by rightly dividing the Word of God. Not throwing our own interpretations in there. Not making it up. Getting it from God's Word rather than putting things into God's Word. That's how we guard the covenant. The Levite must teach it, must live it. Let me give you an example. Biblical example. Nehemiah chapter 8. Just one example. Nehemiah 8, verses 7 and 8. Here we have Ezra reading the law. The people hadn't heard the law in a long, long time. There was a lot of weeping going on in the crowd because of hearing the word of God that had been absent from their midst for so long. And in verses 7 and 8 we read this. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebatai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Pelaliah, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. I have been in services where people read the Word of God and it was like they were reading a technical manual for some kind of supercomputer or something, and it's just a number of words being read in monotony, and, you know, it sounds terrible, but also there was no understanding being given. God's Word says that the Levites, while the Word was being read, also were walking around and reading portions of it to the people, saying, "Do you get this? Do you understand what this means? Do you understand what God is doing by this? What God wants of us by this, and what God is going to provide?" It was no good unless it was understood, and God chose the Levites to make it understood. Praise God for the Levites. So that was their privilege. The privilege of the Levites. What about the Levites' provision? You know, Joshua and Eleazar and the heads of all the tribes of Israel saw to it that they got their cities in which to live. And the suburbs of those cities as well. And the pasture lands. But there was yet more involved than that. You see, the Levite was not intended to provide for himself. The Levite was not intended to work part-time and give part-time to his ministry. His needs were to be taken care of by the people in order that he may give himself wholly, totally to the Lord. And that word holy, we can spell it with an H or spell it without an H. He was to give himself wholly, totally, and he was to give himself wholly, saintly. And in order to do this, his needs had to be taken care of. How was that to happen? Well, first, by the tithe. Back in Numbers, this time we look in chapter 18. Numbers 18, verses 21 to 24. Read this way. I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance, in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. From now on, the Israelites must not go near the tent of meeting, or they will bear the consequences of their sin and will die. It is the Levites who are to do the work at the tent of meeting and bear the responsibility for offenses against it. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. They will receive no inheritance among the Israelites. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. That is why I said concerning them, they will have no inheritance among the Israelites. The people of God were required to give one-tenth of all they had. Livestock, grain, wine, vegetables, to the Lord. Now, how did they do that? I mean, you can't kind of go knock on the door of heaven and say, Lord, I got this gift for you. God even set up a manner in which this was to be done, and it was through the Levites. The Levites were the ones who would put the offerings on the altar, but the Levites were also the ones who would receive from the tithes their sustenance, their food, their drink. God doesn't need to eat or drink, and so, you know, he didn't need those grain offerings and those meat offerings. But the Levites did. So what he did was he assigned it. He assigned the tithe for the use of the Levites. Why? Because they were too holy to work? Because they couldn't get their hands dirty? No. Because they needed to be free from the cares of the world, so that they could devote themselves to the teaching of God's word and the guarding of his covenant. They needed to be free from the worries of the world. So, part of the Levites' provision was the tithe, and secondly, the offering. There's a difference between the tithes and the offerings. We read in our Old Testament reading this morning about offerings for silt. For guilt. We combine sin and guilt, we get silt. But they were sin offerings, guilt offerings, because of sins that had been committed, and they brought things and laid them at the altar, brought them to the Levites, and the Levites saw to the offerings. But they were leftovers. In Ezra chapter 44, we read something of that. Not Ezra, I'm sorry, Ezekiel. Wrong EZ. Ezekiel chapter 44. beginning in verse 28. God says, I am to be the only inheritance the priests have. You are to give them no possession in Israel. Now, we've noted that they have land in which to live, but it's not their possession. They don't own it. I will be their possession. They will eat the grain offerings, the sin offerings, and the guilt offerings, and everything in Israel devoted to the Lord will belong to them. The best of all the first fruits and all of your spiritual gifts will belong to the priests. You are to give them the first portion of your ground meal so that a blessing may rest on your household. The provision for the Levites was to include everything. Everything that was brought as offerings. Even the skins of the animals that were brought for burnt offerings. The skins were very valuable, as a matter of fact. And they were sold. Temples had stores, which is why we read Paul teaching in 2 Corinthians about eating meat devoted to idols. Temples had stores. Now, I don't know if I'm sure that the tent of meeting didn't have a store, but you may remember that Jesus went into the forecourt of the temple where there were all these money lenders and sellers of doves and pigeons and things. And at that time, he shut them down. But all of these things were devoted. And they were devoted to God. And God said, okay, I assign them. I second them, if you will, to the use of the Levites. The offering was to include meat, drink, grain, oil, plus the cities in which they would live. This was the provision for the Levite in service to God and his people. And so we come to the question about today's Levites. Are there still Levites today? Well, yes, indeed, there are. Now, some people would object. And they would say, well, yeah, but the Levites were qualified by virtue of birth, being the descendants of Levi. And today's Levites, or people who would call themselves Levites, are not directly descended from Jacob. I beg to differ. We are the descendants of Levi. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 says it this way. Chapter 3, verse 7. Understand, then, that those who believe are children of Abraham. Those that believe are children of Abraham. Raise your hand if you're a child of Abraham. That's right. We are the spiritual descendants. I'm a child of Abraham, who was father to Jacob, who was father to Levi. I'm a spiritual child of the promises. I am a Levite. Also, besides my royal birth in the family of Abraham and Jacob and Levi, I'm called by God to serve by teaching His Word and guarding His covenant. You know, if you ever feel that you're called to something and then you wonder about it, there's one way to find out if you're really called to it. Try quitting. Oh, I've tried it. I've quit the pastorate 3 times. God keeps getting me back in here somehow. Amen. Obviously, it's for the big bucks. But I don't have any question about my being called to teach God's word and to guard his covenant. By guarding his covenant, it also includes guarding the pulpit. Won't let anybody use this covenant, this covenant pulpit, unless I vetted him. And I say him intentionally, because ain't no women getting up here. We had a fellow come and speak to us yesterday at the men's breakfast. And he recognized that he was speaking at the men's breakfast only because he had been approved to speak before our men. Because he's someone who I trust as someone who will give biblical teaching and not heresy. So, is this about giving the pastor a raise? Could be. Let me just say this about that. I wouldn't turn it down. But you can't get blood out of a stone. Now, that's not what this is about. This is about understanding who we serve. Both on that side of the pulpit and this side of the pulpit, we serve a mighty God. Levites today are servants. We need to be able to serve. It is our calling and privilege as Levites to serve. To serve God by serving his people and serving the community at large, but starting with his people. Starting with the household of faith. Part of your calling is to allow me to do that. My legacy, brothers and sisters, is to be here in this place because God has called me not just into pastoral ministry, but to be in this place at this time. He has called you to be here as well, as we work together, as we serve together, as a whole bunch of Levites. You know, in the Levitical clans, there were a lot of distinctions. All Levites served the temple, but not all were priests. Some were priests' assistants. Those who we know today as the Kohens, or the Kohanes, were the ones who were directly descended from Aaron himself. And they served as the priests, and only from their clan could come the high priests. But there were so many others involved. The singers, those who served at table, they were all Levites. And so, whether you've realized it or not, brothers and sisters, I commission you all today, recognize your role as Levites. Recognize my role, in a sense, as the Kohen, the priest. No, I'm not a priest, we know that. But in the sense of having a special call. And in understanding these things, we can work together that we might serve our great and mighty God, in whose name we will now pray. Father, giving thanks that you put us to work, we come and we say, give us more. Thank you for this legacy, this inheritance, which is not what we can get, although we will get plenty, but is what we can give, what we can return. We give tithes and offerings of ourselves, O God. And we ask that you bless them and multiply them. In Jesus' name, amen.